See on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral with you.
The city didn't save me.
How are we going to do this into the time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire me.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. Legends. You can't fail this city.
His girlfriend's a guy. Anyway,
I'm talking to you. I watch TV. Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on CW Supergirl on Rain Man Digital. So if you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. That is available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. And once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. We are also live on Twitch now. If you go to twitch.tv, you can find us at Rain_Man_Digital, right?
I think or just search Rain Man Digital.
Yes, you can, but like you got to jump through a couple extra hoops to get there. This is what I noticed when I subscribed to it today. So you should probably just go. You should follow us.
Subscribe.
And, you know,
you'll get notifications when we go live.
Exactly. So
you can see our beautiful faces, a bunch of people watching.
Faces and Nicole's buff arms.
Yes.
If you're looking for the gun show, you found it here on Supergirl.
It's on the Supergirl edition, no matter what Ryan says.
Yeah. Nicole obviously has the more impressive guns. I don't care what Ryan ever says. All right, so we are back.
I'll take it.
For Supergirl Season 4, Episode 2, Fallout. The country deals with the aftermath of the president getting exposed as an alien. Before we get into all of that, let's talk a little bit of other stuff. We've got some news. We're finally back into, like, news time of the year. I don't know.
News stuff and then rumor crap that we probably should address.
Rumors.
Because we get tagged in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I think I accidentally ranted a little bit to Paul, who does, you know, the Wayne talk stuff. So he tagged me in something and he was like, oh, hey, look at this. He doesn't watch Supergirl. He doesn't know. But it was just like, Superman's getting his own show. And it's like, no, he is not. Would you calm the hell down? We have already gotten rid of that.
Yeah.
When he showed up on the show,
they were
like, we're not doing that. We're not doing it at all. We're not going forward with something like that because we just don't have the space for it. Why would we directly compete with Supergirl or make everyone think, oh, Supergirl wasn't doing well, so Superman needs to come in and save the day and have his own show? beyond that, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, they're already, if they didn't have room for Constantine on this network, they don't have room for Superman.
No. And that's one of those things, and they probably can't afford it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the part-time license is a lot cheaper than a weekly license.
Mm-hmm. And like, the thing is that some of the fuel behind this rumor was the fact that supposedly Henry Cavill's not going to be Superman anymore.
So he's free game.
But he literally put out a response video. Like, he's probably his contract ran out and they're renegotiating or something. You know what I mean? But he, whether people responded positively to him as Superman or not, he still has been Superman. He looks the part. I think better writing would do him a lot of justice because he's very capable of being kind of like coy and funny and a little more lighthearted than what he's been written and directed to be as Superman. But he posted a response video with him wearing a Superman shirt with Superman theme song playing and like slowly lifting up a Superman action figure. when people were like, who's not Superman anymore? That was his response. So how is it after that people are like, well, he's not going to be Don in the cape anymore. And you know what that means.
And you know it's Tyler showing up on the sets again. And
yeah.
I think he's on next week's Supergirl. And then he's in the crossover.
Guess what? Yeah. I love Tyler. I think he does a great job.
He does awesome with it.
But that doesn't mean he's getting his own show.
No.
Whether we like it or not. If he shows up on Supergirl more, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Nope.
He's a great character. Great actor. Plays the role well. Do I think he needs an entirely separate super show? No.
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 The Super Family Network.
But with that being said, the most exciting news this week does kind of hint that we're going to be seeing a lot more of Tyler. And that is that Lex Luthor is finally going to be showing up on Supergirl.
Yes.
The crowd goes wild. I'm really excited about that. I kind of can't wait to see what they do, and I can't wait for a more traditional Lex.
Oh, do you think this fuels those rumors? Like when we keep introducing, especially Lex.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. You can only avoid these characters for so long on this show. Supergirl is a great hero in her own right. She's a great character in her own right. But at the end of the day, she was created as a result of Superman already being a character.
Yeah.
And she was directly tied to his life, being his cousin. You know, she worked with him. She escaped Argo in whatever version you're thinking of, you know, whatever version you've read or didn't read or whatever. She always is his cousin from the same planet, last two supposedly of their kind on Earth. And she's a part of his life. She got her start as a hero after he was already Superman and he helped her out. Like, there's no avoiding these characters. Because even if you don't show them, you're going to talk about them.
Yeah.
We talk about Lex all the time.
Yeah, you can't keep bringing up even the corporation, you know, Lex Corp or Luthor Corp or whatever version you go by.
I mean, you could keep bringing it up and never show him, but I'm glad that they're going to bring him in. They brought in Superman. Why not bring in Lex? Why not? People want to see these characters, and I think they know that they did such a good job with the Superman that they cast and the Superman that they have on the show. People that don't even watch Supergirl like him. I think that they are really trying to foster, like, hey, we really care about the comics. Please pay attention. Pay attention to that. We really, really care about the comics and representing them well here on CW. And I personally was not stoked on Jesse Eisenberg. That's his name, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I did not like that Lex Luthor.
So let's pose this question for both of you. What do you want from Lex? Like, what are you looking for when they cast this? And when they bring this character to life, what makes your perfect Lex? Nicole?
I have no idea. Honestly, I just, like, I know Lex and Superman, the whole universe through, like, the animated, like, cartoons when mm-hmm. I was a kid that my dad would watch, and I would just pop in and be like, oh, what's this? So I don't know. I approach these things with an open mind anyway.
So you're looking like you're going to be open to whatever interpretation of the character they bring. There's probably. Not like a, you know, like because yeah. Lauren said she didn't like the movie.
I didn't like that. I was kind of like, this is weird. This is too. He reminded me too much of like
an ADD kid
or almost like a very toned down version of Joker.
And
a super sane Joker.
Yeah.
Super sane.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what, like, we always look at Lex being, like, more cerebral.
Yeah.
And, like, stoic and yes, everything.
That is exactly the word that I was going to use. Exactly the word that I've been sitting here with my mouth shut, like.
Sorry.
I'm going to wait. Okay. I'm going to wait.
But I think that's what we all probably want is more, because you're right, the Jesse thing didn't fit because it just seemed like a spoiled rich kid, like kind of like, like crazy and all like, and that's not what I expected.
Unhinged, yeah. Kind of. Yeah. I didn't care for that version at all. I do remember him even in the cartoon. I'm pretty sure he's more like stoic and calculating and just very cunning.
He is that villain that honestly makes you believe that you are beneath him in intelligence, and he exudes confidence. Even if you are ahead of him and you're screwing up his plan, he's never going to, well, I won't say never, but he usually will not break his composure to yell at you or lash out emotionally. He's very cold. He's very stoic. He's very, very smart. And honestly, I feel like he's the equivalent of Batman, but on the villain side. Like, he harbors everything and doesn't let any emotion show. He is always a step ahead of everyone else. He's scary because he doesn't let things affect him most of the time emotionally. So he's just there and he's confident and he looks good in a suit. And you know what I mean? Like, he's just, he's scary because he can really, really mess your life up because he is capable and he's not erratic. He's calculating. He's smooth. That's what makes Lex scary as a villain, because he can totally screw your world up. He has the money. He has the brains. He has the connections. He has the calculating wit. Like, he's gonna fuck everything up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would like him to be comparable in age to Tyler, if not a little older, maybe. I'd love for him to still be bald, because that's a thing and that's part of his backstory. Like,
yeah. You can't have a blonde-haired Superman.
Right.
Very smooth, very stoic and calm, cold, collected. I want him to be confident and take the time to say what he means rather than, you know what I think about this? I think, you know, over there, my dad did this and I'm Jesse Eisenberg and like, I don't need any of that crap. Lex is collected.
So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a tease based on this news later on when we get to the breakdown. We're going to go to Speculation City. Because I have an idea.
Nation City.
So, it, just a little tease for you guys listening, that I have something that comes up that might just kind of blow everybody away, especially with this news. So,
okay. Yeah. All right.
I ain't waiting for it.
Well.
And then when I disappoint y'all, you can throw shit at me. Be like, okay. That was stupid.
Okay, so really quick, though, before we get off of this Lex stuff, just a couple bits of information. He is not going to be a one-off character. He is going to be a recurring figure in the show going forward, which means we will probably see him with the frequency that we see Tyler. Maybe a little more at first, you know, maybe we'll see him for a few episodes in a row. Maybe we'll see him a few times this season. And then moving forward, he'll pop in and out of the show as it fits the story. There's a lot of things that could happen with Lex and Lena and Lillian and all of the L's. We'll see what happens there. But I mean, he did try to get Lena assassinated, so let's not forget about that.
Yep.
And she certainly doesn't respect him for the person that he is now. So I don't know. He's going to appear this season. That's a thing. It's going to be this season. Casting has only begun recently. It's not happened yet. So, we will see. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, he's almost certainly not going to be in the crossover. It'll probably be after that, because they just filmed that as we're, you know, in the studio today recording. And he definitely wasn't cast by then. So sometime after that is when Lex will come into this season. So back half of season 4.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. One other little bit of news. we are going to have a James Olsen relative come in. AZ Tesfaye? This is a name that I'm really not confident in. So that's great. I'm going to say AZ is her name, though. And she was on Jane the Virgin on the CW. So once again, them keeping it in the family.
I'll probably recognize her when she shows up from all the commercials for her on the app.
Probably.
she had a major recurring role on that show on the first two seasons. So, well, she was on Superstore. That's pretty neat. And a recurring one on Powers. Powers was funny, but short-lived. So I will probably recognize her when she pops up. But she is going to be James's sister. Kelly Olsen is her name. And she spent some time in the military in order to pay for med school. She's recently discharged from the military, currently finishing her training as a psychiatrist. She's got a large heart and cares deeply about others is the description there. So I don't know. I mean, what do we think this means for James and his part in the story, you know, getting more into his own world and his family and stuff like that?
I hope it's not some kind of torn, because we still have to deal with the Guardian thing. Do we all agree with that?
Yeah. Yes. But do we think they have basically written out Guardian? It's going to be like a plot thing, but do we think they're like canning that character as a hero?
Maybe. I could see him either trying to find a way around it, or he could just pull a whole new identity or something, or... Like, more than likely, I think if they're going to bring him back, he's going to find the perfect situation to bring him back to prove that he is
worthy
and get the DA off his back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
It's, for me, the weirdest part about it is that Guardian was two people. And without you guys' sweet baby win there, like, who's his oracle?
That's true.
Yeah.
And so what I think that the sister might bring into it, especially because they made a big deal about like, oh, she's going to be a psychiatrist or, you know, working towards it, like talking to him about his struggle between his two identities and being happy with who he is and the difference he's making, you know, especially after this week with, you know, the article and all that other stuff that was going on with him. I don't know.
I think that she's going to play a part in... I haven't decided what I think is actually going to happen with Guardian itself as a character, like as a hero in the show. I don't really have a set answer in like what I think.
Yeah.
But I know that he's not going to walk away from it easily. He's not done yet. He's going to suit up at least once or twice again this season before he either commits to being Guardian again completely or he just drops it. And I feel like James's sister is going to come visit him and talk to him and be like, what is going on in your life? You know, I hear you're a hero, like, or a vigilante. What's happening? What's going on? You know, what? Let's talk this out. And she's going to pull out some psychiatrist crap. So, yeah.
Don't you analyze me.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's take a quick break before we jump right on into this episode.
Against Supergirl. All right. Test run against Supergirl.
Are we just supposed to pretend like we don't hear him?
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Not forget the holiday special and the Ewok movies. They want to bitch about the alleged garbage we're getting. Let's not forget the Ewok specials.
Yeah, those Ewok specials and the holiday special. You guys got? Have you forgotten that?
I mean, I'm still trying to figure out who the fuck Sindel is. Like who?
Wow, that was a pull from the vault.
Was that her name?
Yeah, it was. Sentinel.
I don't know how. That's like muscle memory, Dave. That should show everyone I'm a true Star Wars fan. The fact that I can just think Ewok special, boom, Sentinel. And the fact that suddenly Wicket could speak English.
Yeah, that's the thing that baffled me. It was like, how do you explain that?
Sesame.
Yeah, I'm just gonna mind meld with you, and I'm gonna take your thoughts, my thoughts to your thoughts, and your thoughts to mine.
Well, just don't look into the corner where you know the fantasy of Guinan in my dark mind is right there.
But Guinan, Jesus Christ! There's so many other hot women in Star Trek. Go for Guinan. Wow, David. Jesus,
Guinan was hot, man.
Whoopi Goldberg. What? Are you kidding me? She is so. Wow, David.
I like to learn under her.
Oh. You want to get inside of her skirts? Her giant Amish-like robes?
Like, that's the thing. It's the mystery. What's underneath that?
I don't need to know what's underneath that. Michelle Forbes? Maybe. Dr. Crusher in the movies? Yes.
But it's the mystery. It's the mystery. You're like kind of going, you know, is there a big booty underneath
David,
there?
Some mysteries are better off. Never know.
Never know.
Star Trek from the Holodeck. Exclusively on Rain Man Digital. Go to RainmanDigitalMedia.com or Patreon.com/RainmanDigital.
End simulation.
All right, guys, if you want more DC on CW, go to Patreon.com/RainmanDigital to get some. We are constantly adding additional content each and every month, including DC on CW Presents, where the DC on CW hosts discuss any and all things DC-related. Also, the new Black Lightning series has been added to our lineup of shows to cover, but in order to hear our discussion on that, you've got to pledge to our Patreon. When you pledge $5 or more a month, you will gain access to all of this, plus hours of additional Rain Man Digital content.
Go ahead and subscribe. There's all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
All kinds of videos of us. From all the other shows that we have out there, go ahead and get out there and support us.
Have you missed an episode of DC on CW? Catch up on all of our discussions from Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Just search DC on CW on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find it on the Rain Man Digital app. Just search Rain Man Digital from the iTunes App Store or Google Play.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we are back. Let's talk Supergirl Season 4, Episode 2, Fallout. Directed by Harry Jurgen? I don't know. the story is by Dana Horgan. The teleplay was by Maria Magenti, and Daniel Beatty. I feel like names are throwing me for a loop now. I feel like Supergirl hired people based on
our lack of being able to.
I feel like they were like, yeah, she got cocky. She can pronounce all the names really well. Let's throw her for a loop. Let's throw everything out the window. I don't even know. Whatever. Yeah. I'm salty about it. But so, all right. This week we saw this show focus more on the growing nationalist and sort of like anti-alien movement in America. It starts right off with the president and Kara, of course, being kind of optimistic and being like, you can't leave. You know, you got to stay. And the president was at least a good enough person to be like, hey, me being president actually directly violates like two separate things in the Constitution. So like, it's not going to happen. and I shouldn't be president technically. I hope I did some good though. Bye.
I did appreciate that they did.
They pulled that up.
Yes.
Yes.
Because if not, it would have been one of those, like, we talk about when you separate, like, the reality of the situation with its TV.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. It was like, oh, that makes sense. The whole, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger could never be president because he's not from this country.
Right.
And I'm sure a world would fall under that. So good for them for actually following through.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All of it's kind of.
Anybody upset that we didn't think about that before?
What do you mean?
Like, maybe a little, sort of.
Like, shouldn't,
I was like, oh shit, yeah.
Some background investigation brought out that she wasn't human.
Well, I'm sure she faked whatever.
I was just thinking about.
Or maybe she was born here. You know, maybe she was like born in America. You know, like, I don't know.
No, I was just thinking about, you think about, you know, go back to like the Obama administration where it's like his fake birth certificate from Hawaii. He's not from here. And, you know, all those like conspiracies going around.
He's straight from Africa, even though he's only half black. Right.
Yeah. Like, the thing that kind of was weird is that. Like that situation put too so much stress on her that was the first time it's ever come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you think it happened before, where just nobody was looking and it was like a conspiracy theory. I like how I play in my own head. Or you ever see those like Facebook, or you have those Facebook friends that post those videos. They're like, watch this video. And if you look in the lower left hand corner, you can see that it's being manipulated by so-and-so. I don't know.
Yes.
My own world of insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of things out there. I don't know.
More show related. Do you know who this vice president that they put in was supposed to be?
No.
Mm-mm.
Data from Star Trek. Was it Brent?
Brent? I knew I recognized his face and I couldn't figure out why.
No, he was supposed to be. They recasted him. I think we put an announcement in one of our shows, or I might have posted it on our Facebook.
But why did this guy look familiar?
He's also from, if you look him up, I don't remember his name offhand. But if you look him up, he is a familiar face because we've seen him in other Star Trek type things. But this guy was supposed to be. And then, like, if you look at the articles on why he was recasted, it said he left for family reasons. Now, we see that this guy is kind of part of the anti-American or anti-alien movement. Do you think that he, like, the original read the script and was like, I don't know if I want to portray this on TV?
I don't know. I mean, at the same time, it's acting, and the show itself stands against that.
And I always wonder, though, you know, it just seemed weird that because it was a late recasting.
Yeah. I mean,
I could be making up things, more conspiracy theories.
Bob, why are you starting conspiracy theories on the show?
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe, but at the same time, if he didn't want to portray that, I mean, honestly, the show stands against that. So I don't know why you'd really have a hard time with it, I guess, you know?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm probably making more things up than I really believe in.
God, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. He is Tron.
Oh, was he?
Right? Like, yeah.
It's definitely a known actor.
Bruce, oh God. He also has a name.
Wait, what? Box Lightner? At least, yes. Like, I can say that.
Box Lightner? Okay. I was like,
That sounds like a made-up RPG name.
And it does.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be? Bruce Fox Lighter.
Fox Lighter.
God damn. Yeah, he was Alan.
Alan Bradley.
Bradley.
Mm-hmm. He's in Babylon 5.
Man. That's okay. So that is how I know him. That is why I know him. That is how cool. All right. So yeah, I mean, he was in a bunch of stuff. I just couldn't figure out why he was familiar, but he actually played Tron too. So yeah. Okay. So we've got this new president who kind of came out of nowhere. We've never really seen him before at all or heard of him or anything. It's just always president, president, president. The protest outside is, oh man, I audibly like groaned because, so right now I am almost done playing Detroit Become Human. And I don't know if either of you guys are familiar with that game at all.
Isn't it?
I've seen lots of promos, and I think Steve played like the demo or something, and I was interested, but I haven't picked it up.
Okay. So the developer is Quantum Dream. They also made Heavy Rain, which if you've heard of
it. I love that game. Okay,
cool. Yeah. Same sort of gameplay style.
That's why I want to pick it up.
For anyone listening who doesn't know, Detroit Become Human, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, all of that, those are games where you walk through and it's very narrative driven. It's a lot of like quick time sort of commands and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like you're pressing buttons here and there, you're walking around exploring, choosing dialogue options and creating. It's a choose your own adventure sort of situation. You know, you choose how you want to have this story play out. And there's a lot of different options and endings. I'm a little late. It came out earlier this year, but I'm almost done playing it. And a major thing in the game is the fact that the androids are becoming human. Their intelligence is becoming like really, really like artificial intelligence, and they're showing empathy. They're showing emotions. They're falling in love with each other. They're scared to die, and they're like all of these things. And they're like, we are human. Like we're alive. You can't kill us. You can't treat us as your slaves anymore. We have this feeling of all of these emotions and stuff like that. We feel alive. So, watching all of the protests and stuff in that game, and thinking about what's actually happening in America kind of all the time lately, where it's just like, if you're not from this country, we hate you and you should burn in hell. It's like a little too real watching those protests say America before aliens and like all of the rhetoric that's involved, and watching people come up and say, you know, ugly is as ugly does, man, they deserve to be here, you know, and like signs that say equal rights for everyone. And it's just like, yeah, man, like things should be regulated for sure. But how can you just, I don't understand that protesting side where they're just like, ah, these roaches need to get out of our country. And like, well, if you have certain problems where you think that there's not enough jobs to go around or whatever, like things should be regulated. But how do you just like hate someone for existing? How, like, I don't get it. So that's rough, especially when they get to the Agent of Liberty rally.
So let me ask you guys this. We watch TV to escape.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, let me know. And you said something right there that I felt when watching this. This is too real.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm the guy who's muted words on Twitter because I was tired of watching my Twitter feed just get bombarded with just like rhetoric and all this other stuff. I try to watch superhero shows to get away from it.
Okay.
And I don't know, Nicole, do you feel the same? Like, you're nodding your head like you agree with me. It's just,
yeah,
like,
I felt the same way because I watched the protest scene and I was like, Jesus, this just looks like I'm watching the news at this point. It was too real. And yeah, like you said, I like to take at least an hour to just escape. And that's why I watch these shows. So that's why I had my eyes rolling at the protest scene.
Here's the problem, though. There's always been politics and social issues tightly woven into the stories of superheroes. People started just pissing and moaning about X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold and X-Men Red, and they were these political sort of factions within the mutant community and each of these books had kind of a different viewpoint and they were political. And but honestly, and people do it all the time. They're like, keep your politics out of my comic books. It's like, but if you go back in history, they have always been political. They've always been tapping into all of these social issues. And that's part of what makes people look up to these heroes, is because they take a stand on certain issues. And while I absolutely want to watch TV to escape real life, I feel like superhero shows are not where I'm going to get that. And I personally don't expect to, because they have the unique opportunity to take a stand on something and stand up for what that hero believes is right. So I think for Supergirl and Superman and those types of characters where they're very, very active in social stuff, the show has an opportunity, and it would be negligent to completely ignore that opportunity, I think, personally.
It's just, like I said, for me, we started watching this show and we saw a bright-faced, you know, like, beacon of hope. And it's just, I don't feel like I'm watching that same show anymore.
But people were still shitting all over the show at the beginning because it was too feminist. And get your feminist bullshit and your social justice warrior propaganda out of my face. That was the deal with the show at the beginning, you know? Everyone was like, oh, it's the girl show. It's the girl superhero show. So, of course, they have to have a lesbian and it has to have this and that. And it's so, I don't know, socially correct and PC, politically correct all the time. And just feminist this and feminist that. And so, I mean, it's been taking a stand on social issues since day one. And the alien thing has been slowly increasing. I think we're coming to a head with that here. I think this season is going to be the apex of, you know, the alien and like immigration sort of stuff. I don't know. I mean, do I want this to last in the show forever? No. But
honestly, I don't think it can, because the way the ratings have been going for the show, people, I think, are looking at this stuff and aren't watching.
God, that sucks, though, you know, like,
you know, and it has. I don't want to say it's because of this, but I bet you this has to do with it, because a lot of times it's, you know, again, for me, who tries to be, I always claim to be purple. You know, I'm not blue, I'm not red, I'm purple. Like, I try to stay in the middle, and it's
sure
for you to decide. And I just feel like I'm getting preached to a lot with this. And it just, a lot of reminding of just like one side of the story.
Yeah. And if we think about it, like, the elections are going on right now. We are being bombarded right now with smear campaigns and vote for this, vote yes on this, vote no on that.
Didn't even think about
blah,
that.
Blah, 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 blah. I think right now, it's just unfortunate timing.
It's overwhelming.
For them to bring this plot point up, which they can't control. We all know that the elections are here, but I think it's just people, a lot of people are being overwhelmed by it, and then they see it in their show and they're like, I don't want to right now.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
I'm like, oh, yeah, well.
You're right.
I was just bombarded like five times through my mail about how horrible Kristen Sinema is here. So, and that was just today. So I think that might be contributing to that.
Yeah. And I'm getting text messages every day. Like, yeah. Can we count on your vote?
By the way, what the hell?
I just keep blocking the numbers.
Yeah. By the way, this is the deadline to register to vote, and like, this is the voting deadline and stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm registered. I have my early ballot. I'm going to go send that in. Don't worry about it.
Mind your business.
But I don't know. It sucks because it really is kind of important. And I know that the people that are watching this show aren't the ones that are like, if you are from a different country, get the fuck out. Speak English. You know, they're not those assholes.
Yeah, that's not the CW demo. We're not talking about some of the other networks out there.
Yeah.
We're not CBS with the 15 over.
That's the thing. That's the thing that sucks is like, I know that they're preaching to people who already believe it, but it creates a metaphor. People who don't want to see it in real life sometimes have a better grasp on it when it's like a fake thing, or it's, you know, actual aliens from outer space, and they're like, yeah, but they're not so bad. It's like, well, yeah, they're not so bad. What do you think about that? Weird, right? It's hard, but I respect that they actually take a stand one way or another. Too many shows are worried about losing viewership if they take a stance on something. But I don't think that alien, I don't know, immigration or whatever and stuff like that, and like racism and classism and whatever else on that level, I don't think that's something that you can ignore with Supergirl. And they didn't have to tackle this story, totally true, but I feel like it was kind of responsible of them to. And as much as it's kind of bombarding right now with elections and everything else and like politics,
we get back to the TV side of it. The Liberty rally, the speech and everything about that was like well written, well acted, and that was, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like there are like beautiful parts of the show that I do appreciate, and even that was cool because for me it just seemed more of like the cult leader like rallying their troops type thing, and it wasn't so like political in my head. You know, it was like that small group. And I always wonder if they would have went with that direction of like keep with that dark web and those, like, I almost said terrorist cells, but you know what I mean? Like those small groups of people that are like rallying against the aliens instead of making it like a bigger political thing. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's going to be a little less on the political side and a little more on like the social group, like social movement sort of thing. But the president was the catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, so we had to kind of tackle that. And it's going to usher in change within the country. I don't know. I get how it's bombarding. I do. I get how it's preachy. I get how it's kind of exhausting instead of, just being entertainment. But I feel like I hope it inspires people to do more if this is something that they believe in. And I think it at least gets a younger demographic thinking still about, you know, hey, I should actually vote, you know, oh, I'm with the bad guys on this one, or I'm with the good guys on this one, or whatever you think. I don't know. But it's important to talk about stuff and to actually do something instead of just complaining on the internet. So I hope it instills anything, whatever side of it it is. I don't know. I hope it makes a younger demographic think about it and talk about it and do something if they care. I don't know. I definitely don't feel the same way as you guys, but I do completely understand why you feel that way and how you feel that way. Because that makes sense. I wish there was a less preachy way for the show to do it, but there kind of isn't.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of storyline comes up with the supers all the time. Like, it was like that in Man of Steel, or the movies, rather.
Batman.
It's like that in here. It was in the comics. The storyline is a thing that's just part of the supers.
I just think it's bad. Yeah. Like, not, I'm going to say bad timing. Like, who knows?
It's unfortunate timing, because you can't control that.
It's exhausting timing.
Yes. Yeah. If we were to go back and like watch this a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever, you know, our opinions might change because it's not so fresh and so timely, I'll say.
I was kind of excited about this storyline, and I still am. I'm excited that they're ballsy enough to tackle it.
I'm still interested. It was just like particular scenes were just me.
I think I'm also not as bombarded by stuff as you guys. Like I go to work and I go home and like I kind of, it's really bad. I kind of tune out like all the election stuff. Because I'm like, I don't want to see this shit all over. So I just like tune it out and I'll go and I'll look at all of it later and I'll research everything and then, you know, make a decision on where I stand on something from there.
Yeah, but when I'm doing sports on Sunday and it's every commercial in between breaks.
For me, it's I see it all over social media because that's literally everything that's popping up and I work in marketing. So I can't avoid it.
Yeah.
I just open Twitter and I'm like, oh, there's all tweets. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I haven't been seeing as much of that. So that could also be a big reason why I'm not exhausted by it the way you guys
are. Yeah.
But again, I see, like, you're right. There's potential here. And this is a super story. So.
I think, most interested in seeing how many more agents the DEO loses. First, they took a stance on guns. And they lost a good chunk of people who believed that they should have lethal force available to them.
Yeah.
And whether it's right or not, you know, they made the decision. So there you go. And then now DEO agent saying like, and I think that's kind of a dangerous mentality to have when you're working at the Department of Extranormal Operations, working with aliens constantly, looking at the president who's done a fine job, who has been a warm, bright light.
You worked for an alien who changed his name last season.
Yeah. Supergirl, you work next to her every day.
I thought this one was a weird story choice.
That one the DEO dude. Part?
Yes, yeah. the dude switching.
Yeah.
And letting him out.
She belongs in one of our cages. No, she doesn't. She's a perfectly civilized human who has done nothing violent, has committed no violent or menacing crimes. Sure, was it not constitutional that she became president? Yeah. Did she probably lie to get there? Yeah. Did she present herself as a human? Sure thing.
Yeah, but there's not spacecrafts come in and invade because she's president.
Yeah. Did she attack someone? No. Did she, like, harm someone in the process of all this? No. She actually, you know, tried to make things great and equal and wonderful and protect other aliens and all people on Earth. Yeah, I don't know. Just fuck everything she did. She belongs in a cage. Like, what?
I don't know how you guys are, but I just thought the DEO was more of a, like, understanding organization when it came to aliens.
Gee, I thought so too.
Or at least you keep your own politics out of your work.
Yeah.
Like one of those,
you know, standard rules.
Or, I don't know, psych evaluations or questions we would be asking before you actually get hired to a top secret organization.
But also, Papa John just like walked up in there after he's already left it and walked back out. And he's like, I'll see myself out. And also, we've had everyone else just walk up in there like it's no big deal.
Hey, my name's Jimmy Olsen. I'm just here to check the place out. I'm a reporter. I have no clearance. Can I just front door? Is that thanks, guys.
Like that cool? I'm gonna go downstairs. I want to see the people in the cages. Yeah, is this fine?
What's
fine?
Cool. Bye. Down here.
Yeah. It's just a weird choice for me personally. Of just having him flip-flop, like, in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys use alien tech. You work with aliens. It's not...
Your entire organization stands for protecting humans and aliens.
I feel like the DEO storyline as a whole is suffering greatly.
A little bit.
I know we're only 2 episodes in. And I try very hard to be very optimistic. But I feel like it's suffering a lot. I love Alex still. I think she's a perfectly capable director. But just Brainy is a constant struggle.
Oh my God.
The necessity of the DEO in the show outside of logistics here and there and certain missions, I'm kind of failing to see the point in emphasizing it. Mm-hmm. Supergirl's not even there all the time. She's spending her time as a reporter
most
of the show, which we like, which is great. Good. I like seeing civilian side and then some, you know, superhero side, and that's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, And it didn't help this week with the DEO agent flip.
No, it really didn't. However, side note, Alex's suit this season looks badass.
It looks great.
Fucking badass.
Well done, costume team.
Yes. I would cosplay that if I wanted to chop my hair off, but I really
don't. If you wanted commander hair?
Yeah, if I wanted commander hair, but I don't.
I don't know. I don't know what that, like, all I notice her hair, like, I'm not supposed to notice that stuff, but her hair is like, I'm like, what's with the, like, this is my commander
it's
haircut.
Almost
now.
An undercut, but not quite.
It's almost like a faux hawk, but not quite.
Yeah. I mean, it still suits her, though.
It's Steve edgy, doesn't, and it shows
Steve
I'm in
doesn't
charge.
Think so. Steve doesn't think so, but I'm like, no way, she looks hot like that. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let her
it's
live.
Fine. I just thought it was like, that's why I called it commander hair. It's like, I got a new job. I got to do something different.
Slick this shit back.
New job, new haircut, new Alex. Hoorah. Like,
I don't need women now. I got my job and my haircut.
Right. Okay. So, Kara gets taken down by the who he so lovingly called the Wonder Twins.
The Wonder Twins. I love it. All right.
And Agent Liberty using kryptonite. So,
you ready?
Take me down to Speculation City, where the opinions are maybe wrong, but probably not shitty.
Yeah, I really don't.
I like that.
I really don't do shitty, right? I mean, so Lex is the mastermind of it all. How else?
Well, fuck, but I could see it.
How else do you get, we know kryptonite is a Luther thing.
Yeah.
They knew about the Daxamite, like, explosion thing.
They knew it all.
They've mm-hmm. known everything so far.
Luther has a way inside of LexCorp, LCorp.
And
Luther still has a way to check on it.
And he's dictating everything from prison and manipulating the whole thing all the way up to the president. Being able to take out everybody along the way.
Which is weirdly like Daredevil season 3.
Very much so.
Can you...
Like Fisk.
Okay. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't watched
it. We know because we watched it. We finished it. So I'm like, heh.
Yeah. Got you. So it would play out like the storyline would be so just like thought provoking if you just thought like he was pushing the buttons this whole way, because how else would the Wonder Twins know about all this stuff, be able to manipulate their way in and out of the situations?
How would they know this much?
How would they get the kryptonite?
How would they have this much secret information? Mm-hmm. How would they get the kryptonite? How would they be
how
this?
Would they know how to do the work the damn device thing that they did?
Yeah.
And Agent of Liberty is just another one of
right
the, like
now,
his tools
right now in the back of my head, the X-Files theme song is playing.
It's just conspiracy.
And I'm just like, I want to believe. I'm on board. I buy it.
I could see it, yes.
Because right, though,
I would purchase that from a store. I buy it.
Add to cart, buy ship now.
Yeah.
Why else would you cast him? Like, unless he's going to have some big part of it.
Yeah, he can't have no part. I'm in it. I believe it.
Because if not...
And I think, honestly, too, it's going to cause more drama between Lena and Supergirl. It's going to cause drama between him and Lena. It's going to be a huge catalyst, probably. Lena's not going to want him back to begin with. He's ready to kill her for changing the name of LexCorp to LCorp to try and give it, like, a better image. He doesn't care. He cares about his legacy and his company.
And how else do you get back at? And if they're bringing Tyler back for obviously multiple episodes.
And the crossover.
It works in my mind of having some bigger brain. Like we talked about, a stoic, cerebral villain is how you beat a super. It's never been a power versus power thing. It's been, I've been able to outthink them.
Yeah, you have to outsmart the power
and
not outpower it.
And it would fit perfect, and it would just make Lex just like just an awesome big bad. Like, how the hell is he manipulating it? And like you said, cause the drama between, you know, him and his sister. And I don't know. I think it'll work out well. Because I don't know what else you bring him in for. You can't bring him in to be like, let's go talk to Lex. Lex in jail.
Yeah.
All right. Lex is here. Bye. you want him to have like that bigger role that we find out at the end that he's pushing the buttons.
Yeah, and they did say he's going to be a recurring character. So
yeah, Bob, I'm with you. I feel like that is not an outlandish theory, especially like only being two episodes in. Like, we'll see how everything pans out, but as it stands right now, I'm in. I'm on board.
Gotta I'm into it.
Somebody's got to be bigger than the people that we've seen.
Yeah.
One way or the other, somebody's got to be there. And it, having control all the way up to the president, that's elect's thing.
Yeah. And like, being able to get into an area that's secured by the government and the CIA and the FBI. You know what I mean? Like, it was Secret Service securing that area that the president was in at that cabin. And they got in and they executed their plan perfectly. Like, there's got to be someone bigger.
Somebody that knows some shit.
Yeah. Which, like, we know Agent Liberty was an ex-CIA agent, right? Not CIA or FBI?
One of the two. Yeah, I think whatever. It was CIA. But
one of those, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously he could seriously help with that, but they would still probably need some access to some other things. And I don't know, we'll see. It's either that or something bigger, which is scary.
what would be bigger?
All right, well, with that, let's jump into a quick little break and we'll finish out this episode.
Sorry.
Halloween. Ooh, spooky. Okay, so all this month, Rain Man Digital is celebrating Halloween. RMD's Halloween Podtacular Special. This Halloween, Rain Man Digital gets into the spirit of things with seasonal programming, Supernatural, Star Wars, Constantine, Batman, RPGs, and more. Keep your eyes peeled. These themed podcast episodes will be dropping randomly throughout the month of October via Rain Man Digital's stable of shows. Spooky stuff happening. I don't really know what we've got planned all across the board, but I know that there's some spooky comic specials. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. What have we got planned? Anything?
No. Nothing? We do four shows. We do enough.
Nothing spooky from us, guys. No. You can definitely look forward to some spooky stuff in general, though. So definitely keep an eye on that. So let's get back into the show. keep it spooky. I hope we get a spooky episode.
Maybe next week.
Really?
Yeah. It'd have to be next week.
It would have to be next
week.
Like,
this is Halloween weekend coming up right now. I know, because I have gigs.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Yes.
There are pumpkins and ghosties. Okay, I'm done. So, all right, we didn't hear anything about it in week one, but now we're in week two, and we got the announcement of like, hey, you may not know this about me, but I am a transgendered woman from Nia. So we've got a few things to talk about with Nia in general. We spent all this time thinking and wondering, you know, okay, are they going to change Brainy? Are they going to make him a love interest for Kara? Because that's what it sounded like he was cast as. Blah, blah, blah. After this week, I'm feeling like Brainy is going to be a love interest for Nia. And I gotta say, if they can get Brainy toned down to a likable state, which He has improved this week. He was more tolerable this week than last week. So I think Alex being like, hi, you gotta be more normal, has helped chill the fuck out Poindexter. Be more normal. understand context and tone. Not like, don't be so literal all the time. I think it, we're only one episode past that, but I've already seen a little bit of an improvement. He's thrown off, you know, he gets hacked. I think there's going to be some humbling happening for him.
Yeah.
So,
it's gotta be weird. Cause you would think about it like, okay, you guys both being female, if we were to go back to like 1950s, you know, and you'd have to readjust to how people treat women back then, not necessarily what you're allowed to talk, you know, and do.
I can stuff. Drive a car anywhere I want, when I want. I can say what I want to who I want. I can dress how I want. And I may get heckled or catcalled or whatever, but like, I can do it. No one can stop me. I can talk back to men if I so choose.
you shut your mouth.
I can work where I want.
Listen, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yo.
I don't have to be married. Like, there's a lot of things.
Hey, look, I do that shit. I live in sin. If I was to go back, people think I'm...
I think those are all sins, but yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like, no, considering going back, know. You know, I'm not married, and I have a kid. Magically, me and Deb have been together for...
Yeah, you would get
a thousand
shit
years.
For cohabitating and
shit,
not being married.
I get shit now. Yeah. I tell people all the time. It's like, hey, you know what? Go fuck yourself. I don't believe in your ideals. You know, it's not my thing.
It doesn't matter.
I may as well be stoned to death for saying I don't want children.
Yeah.
As a woman. If we were to go back in time.
Right.
kinda,
I mean,
that's
it's still
what
close.
You're made for.
It's still close, though.
You'll change your mind.
Change your
How many times have you heard that?
So many times that I'm about to punch my own doctor in the face and then find a new one.
That's frustrating.
It is. It's so frustrating. Anyway, let's
healthcare.
Not
care.
Ah, healthcare is amazing.
So yeah, I honestly, like, I gotta say, if anyone is going to be a love interest for Brainy, if he's going to be a love interest for anyone else, I liked the setup with Nia. I liked that she was there for that, that encounter that he had. She was there to stick up for him as a human. That was her moment. That was her, like, privileged moment of being just a human. I'm a human. You can tell I'm a human. And, like, you leave this person alone. Like, that was her moment. And I'm proud of her as a character that we barely know anything about. Like, still, I'm proud of her for stepping in and doing that. That's hero shit right there.
Yeah.
You know? And I gotta say, for someone who is transgendered as she is, you know, like, it's, she's gonna be able to accept who someone is and who they want to look like. Like, easier than anybody else.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Do you think, because they actually cast a real transgender in this role, that she's able to use real life scenarios
To tap into emotions or anything
absolutely.
Else?
Absolutely.
Because it came off strong as fuck.
It was strong as fuck and had me going, yes, bitch, get it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good.
Yeah. And I was like, I think that's where we get when the casting is important, not just the fact that she's playing the role, but she technically is the role.
Yeah, she's
she is
that.
Literally the role.
She has dealt with that. She's lived that. When she's talking to James, okay, actually, really quick, Bob posed a question. Would you eat all of an apple pizza?
Okay, you know, Brainy ordered that. And in my head, like, I'm a food guy. And I was like, I would wonder what that tastes like.
First of all, I've definitely
I'm really
had,
curious.
I've had apple on pizza before with, like, fig and, like,
okay, so
like
it was
goat cheese.
Was it like, outside? Oh, so it was outside of like the cinnamon apple dessert pizza.
Oh yeah. No, it's more like it's more like a sandwich or a pizza that you would have that has like prosciutto and fig and like either pear or apple. There's a hot dog place here in Arizona that serves a hot dog that has prosciutto, pear, figs, and some other sort of cheese on it, and like is really good. It's one of those weird, unexpected pairings. So I would absolutely give that a shot. I would. I like to order like weird, interesting flavor combos of things.
Right. It's only once.
Oh, yeah. I would try it, too. I mean, I tried the there's Short Leash, that food truck with all the hot dogs.
That's that the restaurant I'm talking about. Yeah. Short Leash. They have their food truck, but they have like locations, they have the
brick and mortar one. Yeah. I had the weird one that had like Cracker Jacks and peanut butter and I think barbecue sauce on it. And it was fucking amazing. So I would totally. Yeah. The bear.
Yeah.
I think it was at one time called the Seven for some reason.
Maybe.
Yeah. It did remind me of like baseball. So
yeah.
I would totally try all of an apple pizza because I was like, this might taste awful or it might taste amazing. And it tastes amazing.
As long as one of the ingredients isn't something that I like absolutely hate.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
I'll give it a shot. Like if there's one ingredient that's like major in there that I'm like, I already don't like that, so I'm not going to try this. If that's not the case, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I'll see.
Yeah. Mine's the onion. Like if there's onion in it, I'll be like, nope.
Oh man. Okay.
Hey, onion.
Onion on pizza is fine for me, but like not on burgers.
Okay. That's weird.
Don't judge us.
Not saying it's wrong.
You called me weird.
You called me weird.
I'm not a big fan of tomato on hamburgers.
You're weird.
I like.
You're weird.
I know. All right. So let's get back into the actual shit here.
I'm hungry.
So, me too. She was talking to James. And when she was saying like, hey, you may not know this about me, but I am a transgendered woman. And, you know, I know what it's like to be cast out. I know what it's like to have people look at you differently and treat you like you don't belong and treat you, you know, this way and that way. I know what these people are feeling because I have felt it from my own species. That is absolutely tapping into her own experiences. Like, you cannot tell me. I don't care how accepting and loving your own family and friends are. There's at least one point in your journey, if you are transgender, where people you don't know, strangers, friends of friends, distant relatives, your own family maybe, like, I don't know, but some people will be looking at you, speaking to you differently, treating you differently, stuff like that. Like, there's no way to avoid the cruelty of humans completely.
Unfortunately, no.
Do you think they wrote that for her, or they're like, hey, can you give us some, like, real-life words?
I almost hope that she improvised it.
I mean, I feel like they're probably going to give her some leeway to improv.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wrote that or something
the scenario.
Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
I've really been impressed by her, though. And that's just not me, like, wanting to be, like, PC, because you guys all know me. I really just have been impressed with the character and the things that they've done with her. And how it's not been force-fed. It like everything has come natural based off her reaction, not like a out of nowhere. You didn't give me that article because I'm trans. You know, something weird like that. That I just what it felt really forced.
And she speaks up about the things that she cares about a little bit. They're kind of little mouse squeaks. She's just like, "Hi, can I?" Should we write an article? Because she's shy. She's not as confident as someone else might be. She's confident in who she is, but I think she's used to having, you know, the cold shoulder or not feeling like she's as powerful as some others or something like that. You know, I think there's a lot of self-esteem things that come along with people treating you like a second-rate person. When she sees that happen with Brainy at the pizza place and she sees him almost have his skull crushed and like beaten in with a baseball bat just for being alien. He's been nothing but polite to these people. They have served him many times before, but his, you know, image inducer failed and his true face was exposed. And for that, he needs to be just kicked out and beaten. Her seeing that sparked something in her that she can't walk away from and that she needed to sit down and have a one-on-one with James about. And her being able to offer up a similar experience, it made sense for her to come to him and say, hey, I don't think you know this about me, but I'm transgender. And I've been through this sort of thing. I've seen this sort of thing. I've seen this side of people. And it's very important for other people, especially those that are not of whatever class or race or anything that's being discriminated against. It's very important to stand up and stand with them if you support that. So I'm kind of, I'm impressed by her, and I'm torn on James and Katko's stuff, because I see both sides on that issue of taking a side as a business, as an entity like that.
Yeah.
How, I mean, what do you do? That's a hard decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envy James.
I don't either, but I mean, ultimately he did take a side, and I mean, personally, I was glad that he did. He was just like, fuck it, I'm doing it, and this has to be said.
Well, that's what the editorial's all supposed to be all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at least he didn't react. He seemed to be more patient and getting facts, and obviously using her as the motivation for whatever, you know, the writing, finally.
Yeah.
And yeah. And
he saw a little bit of it firsthand in his own office. So yeah. I think that
seemed a little forced,
yeah,
for me too. That magically, after all this time, that it was just like, you know, they're, let's poke fun at the alien guy that works here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's maybe a little forced. But at the same time, when movements like this start happening, when big social catalysts like that happen and people feel emboldened by things going on and by growing movements, they gain this confidence sometimes out of nowhere to just poke fun and to tear down the people that their movement is against or something like that. It like normalizes it. I mean, we've seen that sort of stuff happen where like racial attacks spiked after, sure, after certain elections and things like that. It does happen. People felt that they needed to hide those feelings before because they were wrong and they were, you know, unkind, and then when they see it being normalized, they feel like they can just, ha ha, look at the alien, you know, like, I don't know, it's a little forced, but at the same time, I think it kind of shows that anyone can kind of fall victim to just jumping on a trend or a movement or a train of thought if they're not careful or not strong with their own convictions.
I just always thought Katko is more of a liberal type, all inclusive workplace.
I
you know,
was
run
ready
by women and black men, and we hire all this, and
but there's
we've
the
had
thing
Supergirl
too.
In all this time, and
there's the thing too, is that's the mistake that some people make, is that because someone falls within a certain
guideline,
sex or race or something like that. Like this was an Asian woman.
Yeah.
And you would think that she would be above demeaning someone for their like race. You would think, absolutely. But sometimes, and it's freaking crazy, sometimes that shit gets so normalized that they're like, oh, yeah, but he's not human, though. It's not like I'm making fun of him for being black. He's not human. He's an alien. He's different. And people don't see the difference. They don't register how hypocritical it is. So, I don't know, but I'm glad that I was ready for James to fire her.
I was kind of hoping he would have, but
I was hoping he would, too. Set an example.
Or at least write her up.
But I think he embarrassed her enough.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Sure. The last thing that we really need to talk about here today is the
the most frustrating scene of the entire episode.
The most frustrating and kind of funny scene. Supergirl and Lena and, well, Kara, Lena and, what, Eve? Yeah. And they're all trying to, you know, oh, we got to get a move on. We got to do this and that. And Kara's just trying to get out of there. Oh, yeah, Alex, I see that she's not on the scene yet. Like, so good. And so, like, hacking the, okay, so Brainiac got hacked, basically. The alien tech that's hiding everyone, the inducer, got hacked. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about any of this.
I just thought it was a weird...
It seemed a little weird, but it was also just kind of funny. It was like, we need to get to the servers in order to stop them. That's how you defeat them.
It was a charming moment that, like, didn't make sense, like, logically.
Yeah.
Like, why would my cell towers or whatever have to do to make people... Like, why would you have that as an out? So I could see that coming back later as maybe a story thing. Like, why did you have this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why are they connected in a network? It just seems dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
It was funny. It reminded me of the old charming Supergirl.
True. Yeah, it did.
I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see the humor and the brightness there. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot, and I think we got quickly reminded that Eve is intelligent and important to Lena now at this point, because she's no longer working at CATCO, right?
Yep.
Mm. So that's a good reminder of, hey, there's that character. That's what she's up to. Oh, by the way, here's Lena's lab full of her secret experiments. Don't print that. So she, like, further confirmation that she does not know that Kara's Supergirl. She would never bring Supergirl down there with how much she hates her.
Yeah.
Although, how many times were you guys like, we're going to find out right now? Okay, maybe right now.
A little bit.
Okay, maybe right now.
Oh, no, I've already seen this. Oh.
Yeah.
The button on the door or whatever she did.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh.
Oh. All right. Well, with that, guys, do you have any final thoughts on this episode as a whole?
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I think I've said enough. I mean, a lot of times I come into the studio and talking about it makes me feel better about it. To get some of the frustrations out. Again, a year from now, maybe I'll watch it again and it'll be a completely different thing. I felt it was very agenda driven, and it just, I try to forget things when I watch shows. Not get reminded. I think that's my only, like, criticism of it.
Yeah, makes sense. I can see that they're setting up some really good story, couple different storylines that they can travel down here. Overall, I still enjoyed the episode once we got past the initial, like, scene with the president. I was like, okay, move on. I just want to see Supergirl kick some butt right now. But overall, the episode itself, I liked it. It had a lot of charm to it. It had some humor and also had me on the edge of my seat between Lena and Kara, because I'm like, please just find out already, like, the whole time.
Just end it.
Just do it. And I mean, the last interaction they had, it was like when she busts in there and she's like, I really want to question how you got through a lockdown building. And then she, like, deflected that. So I wonder if that's going to come back up later. So I'm interested to see where everything is going.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it was fine. And it had good moments. It had some boring moments, too.
Yeah.
Some of the issues are a little bland to watch. But I mean, I stand by what I've been saying, that I feel like it's important and the show has an opportunity to take a stance on some things. So I don't know. We'll see how things go. We'll see how everything pans out.
It's early.
It's very early.
And that's what we gotta remember.
A lot of these early episodes are plot and, like, story narrative setups.
That's all we're getting right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see some more butt kicking, which is what I'm looking forward to. A little more action, a little more humor.
Cape tricks.
Cape tricks.
Yes.
All righty. Well, with that, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Supergirl Edition. You can catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man Digital app. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and our Instagram is at DC_on_CW. We'll catch you next time.
People want cuddles.